My name's Pete. If I haven't met you yet, my name's Pete. I'm just filling in for Mark. I understand that Mark's actually landed back in the country, although he's still on leave for the next couple of days. So if you've got anything that comes up, make sure you come and talk to me. Just leave Mark. He's got to adjust from German winter to today. So we just got to give him some space to do that. Let me pray. Here we go, Nick. Father, thank you so much for the privilege it is to know you, to hear from you. And I want to pray now that you will help us as we work our way through this passage, that we might feel the presence of Jesus in the same way that the disciples did on that morning on the beach. Father, I want to pray that you will help me to speak your words faithfully and truthfully. Help us to know you better and to love you more. Father, I pray that your Spirit will be at work today. And we pray all of this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Do you love Jesus? Now, a lot of you are here because you love Jesus, which is a good thing. Some of you might be here because you're going, I don't know who Jesus is. I'm exploring this whole Christian thing. I need to find out a bit more. If that's you, great. I am glad that you are here. But for the rest of us, do we love Jesus? Do we really love Jesus? There's a guy called Tim Keller. He used to be a pastor of a church in New York. He passed away of pancreatic cancer. He knew he was dying. And a friend of his, I heard the interview, a friend of his was interviewing him and said, how are you going with this? Because, I mean, this guy, like Tim was kind of in the last weeks of his life. And he goes, how are you coping with all of this? And you know, just that death is so impending. And he said, if it wasn't for my sin, I'd be completely resting in Christ. And the resurrection would be spiritually real to me and I'd be absolutely fine, spiritually, emotionally, in every way. Now, he was a man who loved Jesus, but he kind of said, if I really loved Jesus, I wouldn't have any problems with what was going on in my life. But he kind of said, but the problem is I keep loving other things as well. And that's what's distracting me along the way. Now, at the heart of this passage is a conversation between Jesus and Peter. Kathy did a great job. She's done a lot of heavy lifting for me today, so that'll be really good for you. We might get an early mark. We'll see how we go. But it's that relationship between Jesus and Peter. And she kind of, the first time that Jesus asked Peter, do you love me? Did you notice what he said? Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Now, as we work our way through this passage, I want you to just have the back in your head, what are the these? Now, I mean, for Peter, the question is, what are these? And you could have a debate about this until the cows come home. Is it these? Does he mean the fish? Does he mean the other disciples? Does he mean the boat? I mean, Peter goes out and goes, there's a certain part, he goes, I'm going to go fishing. I think it's because Peter's gone, I'm just going to go back to what I know. I'm going to go back to what's comfortable. So I'm going to go back to fishing. And Jesus is going, do you love the whole idea of going back to your career? Is that what's important? I don't know what the these are that Jesus is talking about with Peter, but I want to know, what's the these for you? When I say, do you love me? If Jesus were to ask you, do you love me more than these? What's the these for you? I don't know. Your house? Your sporting team? Maybe something a bit more closer to your heart, your career? Your health, your family, that's a big one. Do you love me more than these? Now, if you've been traveling with us over the last couple of weeks, this is the third in our series of personal conversations Jesus has with people. The first one was with Nicodemus, and we learned about how people need to be born again, and people need to hear that message of being born again. And then last week, we looked at a conversation with the woman at the well who's understood being born again, and that changes her because she's now free, and she's free from having to work out who she is. And today, I want to talk about if Jesus shows his love for us, what does that mean for the way that we love him in this conversation with Peter? Now, like I said, the heart of this passage is the conversation that Jesus and Peter have as they go for a walk along the beach. I think it is a walk because you find that John's listening in behind. He's eavesdropping. I don't know why he decided that was a good idea, but I'm glad he did because we can hear about this conversation because he wrote it down. But It's the question of Peter, do you love me? And I know Kathy's already done the heavy lifting of going back, giving us some context. I want to go back a little bit further. John doesn't really tell us about how Jesus and Peter established their relationship. I'm going to go back to what Luke says. Luke chapter 5. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God, and he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put it out a little bit from the shore, and then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. Now, when he finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." And Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and we haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I'll let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boats to come and help them, and they came and were filled both boats so full that they began to sink. And when Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish that had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. And then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you'll fish for people." And so he pulled their boats up on the shore, and they left everything and followed him. A lot of very similar kind of things there, isn't there? As we get to chapter 21, where the disciples are out, they're fishing, catch nothing. Jesus gives them a different instruction. They catch a lot. There's another little subtle thing there as well. Here, Jesus calls Peter what? Simon, his old name. Actually, in John 20, I missed this several times, so if you missed it, fair enough. In John 21, he actually refers to Peter as Simon as well. And I think part of this is, hey, as they're going out fishing, that this is supposed to sort of spark in Peter. Do you remember how we met? Do you remember what happened? Do you remember what you said to me? "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." And do you remember what I said? I said, "Come, we're going to go fishing for people. Follow me." So I think all of that is supposed to be there in the background. And of course, Peter follows Jesus. We get the story and that sort of thing. As Kathy mentioned, there's this point in the night before Jesus is about to be crucified. He's preparing the people, his disciples, for this. He goes, "Guys, this is going to go badly." And Peter's like, "Nah, man, I am with you. I am with you all the way. I've got this. I'm going to lay down my life for you." And Jesus goes, "Nah, that's not how it's going to play out, Peter." Peter asks, "Lord, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you." And then Jesus answered, "Will you really lay down your life for me? Very truly, I tell you, before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times." You think you're this great leader? By tomorrow morning, you will even deny that you even know me. I'm trying to imagine what Peter would have thought at that point of time. You know, trust Jesus, but hey, I'm there. And then, of course, we see that happen. "Aren't you one of the man's disciples too?" The girl asked Peter. He replied, "I am not one." Meanwhile, Simon Peter was a little bit later on. Simon Peter was standing there warming himself, and they asked him, "Aren't you one of his disciples too? Are you?" He denied it, saying, "I am not two." One of the high priest's servants, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, challenged him, "Didn't I see you with him in the garden?" Again, Peter denied it. Three. At that moment, the rooster crowed. Now, in Luke's gospel, it actually mentions, and that moment, Jesus caught Peter's eye. Across all of the crowd, the courtyard, the chaos, he caught his eye. Can you imagine that moment? You were going to go, you were going to lay down your life for Jesus. And he said, "No, you're going to deny me three times." And at that moment, Jesus looks at Peter and they both know what happened. You can almost hear Peter's heart break, can't you? Of course, Jesus dies. Again, Peter, imagine those few days where Peter's gone, that's it. Everything I poured my life into for 3 years is gone. And the guy I love is gone, and I denied him. And then Jesus rises again. Peter meets him. But there's this this thing still hanging over them. Right? And so they go for a walk along the beach. Let me read it to you. While they finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know I love you. Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus asked, "Simon, son of John, do you really love me?" And he answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you." I imagine at this point, the second time, Peter's going, did you miss that? Like, yeah, I thought we covered that. Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of Peter, do you love me?" I think at this point, this is where it finally drops for Peter. Three times. "I denied you three times." That's right. That's how we met. It was the fishing. The whole thing drops for him and he goes, "Yeah. Fair enough. I get this." I think that's why he's hurt. It's not that Jesus is questioning his love. It's that everything coming flooding back for him. And Jesus asks him a third time, "Do you love me?" And he says, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Now, at this point of time, it's a bit awkward. What's their relationship going to be like? And what Jesus does, he gives him two instructions, right? One is about feed my sheep, feed my lambs. That's the thing. It's the same instruction. And then verse 19, he gives him the same instruction that he gave him right at the start. See there at the end of verse 19? Follow me. He goes, I want you to, we're resetting. Peter, you remember you said you were a sinful man? You are a sinful man. That's why I died. I died on the cross. I opened the way so that you and others could be reconciled. And now I want you to follow me. Yeah, I get you. I know you. But I still want you to follow me. Now, isn't that just before we go any further, isn't that a beautiful moment? Isn't it great that John's included this? Because I think John's, you know, he has his throwaway comment right at the end. He goes, "Jesus did many other things as well, and if every one were written down, I suppose even the whole world would not have the room for the books that would be written." Bit of a hyperbole, but he kind of goes, I put this in because it's important. And actually, John 20 could have finished. If you read through John 20, you get the end. It could have finished. And yet he goes, no, I want you to see this. Jesus, who has died, he has reconciled all of the world, he has broken the power of sin and death, he has risen, and he still takes time to take this one guy aside for a walk on the beach and go, "Peter, you love me? Peter, we're okay. It's not because of you, but because I died. I've risen again, and we're okay." But I want you to stop and think about what would your walk along the beach be like? How would your conversation go? If Jesus went for a walk with you and he said, "Do you love me? Do you love me more than these?" How would that go? Because Jesus, and keep in mind, Jesus is saying, not, "Do you do all the commandments? Do you obey me? Do you do everything that needs to be done around church?" He's not asking all of those questions. He's just asking, "Do you love me?" That's what he wants to know. That's the heart of what it means to be Christian, is to go, "Do you love Jesus?" All these other things come out of that, but they're not going to make you perfect. But just as Peter wasn't perfect, he goes, "But do you love me?" And there may be something there that you need to go for a walk with Jesus and go, "We need to sort some stuff out." That's regularly my life. Like my name is Peter, but actually I am Peter. I am the guy who continually does the things that I shouldn't be doing. And Peter and Jesus has to keep coming back and going, "Pete, do you love me?" And I've got to keep going, "Yeah, I need to work on, I need to love you more than these." It is a beautiful, beautiful moment. I hope that at some point you take some time to walk with Jesus and to have that conversation. And Jesus says, follow me. But he also, you notice that every time he says, do you love me? And Peter says, yes. He goes, feed my sheep or feed my lambs. You know, it's the same. Take care of my sheep. Same sort of thing. See, if you love Jesus, you love what he loves. And if you love Jesus, you will hate what he hates. That's another talk, but we'll leave that for one second. But if you love Jesus, you will love what he loves. And what does Jesus love? He loves his people. He loves his sheep. He loves those that he died for. And so if you love Jesus, do you love his people? Now, I realize, you know, in the abstract, do we love God's people? Yeah. But when I mean do you love the people in this room, sometimes that can be a little hard, can't it? I'm sure you guys are all fine, but it's the other congregations, right? They're always harder to love, yeah. But sometimes it can be, can't it? And so when you're asked, do you love Jesus, do you love what he loves? Then And part of that is actually, I realize I'm talking literally to the choir because you guys just sung, but part of that is if you love Jesus, you will love church and turn up to church. I've seen too many people go, oh yeah, I love Jesus, but church, man, that's not really my thing. And go, no, I don't think you really love Jesus. If you love Jesus, you will love what he loves and you will serve those around him. I'll come back to that in a moment. But I also want to say, if you love Jesus, you will love his people, including the people who aren't here yet. Right? This is the way Jesus put it. He says, I have sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice and there will be one flock and one shepherd. He goes, there are always going to be sheep that aren't here yet. Until he comes back, then we get the tick, we're good. But in the meantime, there will be people in Layla Park who need to be here to hear about Jesus. And how are they going to turn up? Here is what Jesus says, peace be with you. Just as the Father sent me, I'm sending you. And with that, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. See, Jesus is going, you know what? I left, nice, comfortable heaven. I came to earth, born in a stable, born in a manger, wasn't great. Walked around Palestine, it wasn't fantastic. Died on a cross, that was horrible, so that you might be reconciled to God. And so he's saying, that's the pattern for you. You don't have to die for the atonement of sins, but that's the pattern. Just as I have been sent, I need you to be sent. And it's not necessarily that he's going to say, I need you to go from heaven to earth. It's sometimes actually, I just need you to go across the road. Just let someone know that you go to church, that you're praying for them, that you're there and you're one of God's people. Sometimes it can be as simple as that. See, if we love Jesus, we will love what he loves, and we love his people, including his lost sheep. That's what Jesus is asking Peter to do. Hey, feed my sheep, take care of my sheep, even the sheep who are not yet in the sheep pen. But feeding my sheep and looking after those, there is a problem, I realize. It means that we have to do things. And now, I'm just going to say a few things from my role. I work for an organization called Reach Australia. I spent a lot of time working with churches all over the country. And there are a couple of things that I've noticed with every church. Normally what we do is we come in and we do a consult. We come in and we talk with churches about this. And actually we charge you guys a reasonable amount of money to do that because we've got to eat and stuff like that. I'm going to give this to you for free. All right, here we go. There's a couple of things from those consults that we do. Number one, you never have enough leaders. Every church I've ever been to, we've seen and go, we don't have enough people on our rosters or our teams or however you organize your ministries. We don't have enough. And it's got nothing to do with size. I was talking to a friend of mine. She's part of a church revitalization, a little church. It was dying, and she and her husband and a bunch of other people come from another church to help this church grow. There's about 20 of them there. I said, how's it going? She said, great, except that my husband and I are pretty much up the front doing like Bible reading or praying or something like that. We're always, one of us is up the front at least once a week. Oh, okay. I go to a church, we have 600. And my wife and I worked out that one of us is up the front leading, praying, reading the Bible at least every week. It doesn't matter whether there's 600 or 20. It's the same problem. So if you're sitting there waiting, so if we just hit 200 or if we just hit a magic number, everything's going to be great. No, it's not. You're going to have to work out how to deal with this. Now, one of the ways one of the things I do want to say is people tend to go, I don't want to be on a roster. I don't want to join a team. I don't want to do ministry because I'm tired. And this is going to burn me out. I've done this before and it almost burnt me out and I don't want to do that again. And if that's you, I want to say don't go on a roster. But you shouldn't go on a roster. Don't serve. Don't do any of that. Because you know what you're doing? You're doing the same thing as the men, the disciples, going, I'm going to do this in my own strength. I'm going to go out, I'm going to go fish. These guys are professional fishermen. They go out and they try and fish. And what do they end up with? A lot of work and they're just tired and they're done and they've spent the whole thing and they've got nothing. If you try and serve Jesus in your own strength, you will burn out. You will get tired. It will be bad. But you see what happens when they do it when Jesus tells them to do it? So if you do it because you love Jesus and you do it prayerfully, it'll be great. Now, sorry, let me just go off on a quick tangent because someone's going to ask me this at morning tea. What's the big deal about the 153 fish, right? Why do they tell us 153 fish? Now, I read a lot of things this week, and there's, you know, like one guy said, well, see, God is one, so there's one, and he's three persons, so that's the three, and there's 10 commandments, and if you divide the 10 commandments into two, then that's five, so that's 1, 5, 3, and there was a whole bunch, and these guys were going off at all sorts, and there's something about if you add them all up, you get to 17, which I couldn't work out, but anyway. And okay, here is why they said it's 153 fish. I'm sorry, if you're a fisherman, I'm sorry for what I'm about to say, but here is my conversation with every fisherman I've ever met. Oh, I went fishing the other day. Great. You want to know how big the fish is? Not really. That big, man. I caught a fish that big. Okay, cool. Do you want to know how many fish I caught? Not. I caught like 153 fish. The reason why we're getting 153 is because they're fishermen. And they just tell you, whether you want to hear it or not, how many fish they've caught. That's it, right? But here's the thing I want you to focus on. They catch the fish because of Jesus. And they put their nets in because of Jesus. And you need to serve because of Jesus. And I find this all the time. I'm in professional ministry. I get paid to do stuff. And I find this. If I keep going on and I keep trying to serve Jesus, I keep trying to do stuff and do stuff and do stuff, but my eyes are not fixed on Jesus as I'm doing it, I am going to get tired. I'm not doing it in the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm not praying. And when I stop and I pray, it's so much easier. And when I stop to do this, I go, Jesus, I need to go for a walk. I need to get my heart focused on you. I need to do this out of my love for you. It's almost effortless. If you're thinking about being involved in some ministry, do that. Who does God use? You know, when you read through the Bible, who does God use? The rich people? Talented people? Good-looking people? No. Who does he use? He uses the people who turn up. That's who he uses. Now, you may be thinking, okay, I don't want to do it because I'm tired. You also, this is another one I'm going to give to you for free. It may be because you go, I don't know where to start. Okay, I'm just going to step out of the passage for a second, putting my Reach Australia hat on for a moment. There is one thing that we've worked out that will actually help every church who is here. And if you're new or visiting, just ignore this. This is family business for a second. If you, as a church, not Mark, not parish council, not the strategic committee or whatever it is, but you, as a church, make a commitment to talk to a new person within 30 seconds of the service ending, that will grow the church, right? That's it. It's not rocket science. So what happens is, and I'm going to show you how to do this. This is how easy it is. You're sitting next to someone, you go, I don't recognize this person. They must be new. You go, hi, my name's Pete. Well, don't say Pete, use your own name. That's how simple we're going to make this. Hey, I'm Pete. We got morning tea up in the thing. Can I show you where that is? Okay, who can do that? Say your name and point people in the direction of morning tea. Who can put your hand up? Who can do it? Right. Who's going to do that? Put your hands back up. Yes. It's not that it's not that complicated. And you just do it within, by the time whoever's up the front finishes talking, that we've seen, if you just do that one little thing, changes churches. Now, that's not the only thing. That's just one start of a thing. But I want you to, so you know how to do it now. And you know that you can do it by praying, and you do it because you love Jesus. So we don't want to feed the sheep because we love the church. We don't want to feed the sheep because we love the loss or whatever. We do this because we love Jesus. It's going to start with that. I love Jesus. And because I love Jesus, I love the church, and I love his people, and I love the loss, and I love the new person who walks in. Do you love me? See, that's the question that we really want to look at. What would your life look like if you really loved Jesus instead of everything else? I mean, that's the question that Tim Keller kept asking as he was going through his pancreatic cancer journey. He goes, what am I loving more than Jesus that's holding me back here on earth? That I'm not yearning for the resurrection? And even when Peter is told, hey, I'm going to let you know what your death is going to be like, and it's going to be pretty horrific. And history tells us, yeah, it was. Jesus is going, but do you love me more than that? That's what's important. So I'm going to give you a moment just to think through a big thing that you've taken away from today. And it may be, you might need to stop and think, what is something that I love more than Jesus? What is the these when Jesus says, do you love me more than these? But it may be also thinking about, if I love Jesus, what will that look like? I'm going to give you a moment just to sit, reflect on that. You might want to write it down. Write it down is a good way of doing it. You don't need to share it with someone right now, but just take a moment to think, what's your one thing from this? All right, let me pray. Father, I want to thank you for this church. I want to pray that your Spirit will be working mightily and powerfully through it. We thank you for the vision day that's coming up, and pray that that through this, this church will be committed to loving you. I want to pray for the prayer meetings that are coming up, that people will take time to prayerfully depend upon you as they pull up the nets, not try and do it in their own strength. Remember which side of the boat they are supposed to do this on. Father, I want to pray that you will help this church to truly love you. And in doing so, it'll be a fruitful church, a healthy church, and a church that is reaching the lost and loving the things that you love. Father, thank you for the opportunity that I've had in the last couple of weeks to be a part of this church. And Father, I pray that you will bring a mighty blessing to this church. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.